Welcome to the UGA BCM Podcast, a part of the Baptist Collegiate Ministries located on campus at the University of Georgia. For more information about us or learn how to get involved, follow us on Instagram at UGABCM and find us online at UGABCM.org. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hey everyone, welcome again to the UGA BCM podcast. I'm Jerry Johnson, campus minister here at the University of Georgia Baptist Collegiate Ministries.
And I'm Tommy Fountain, and today we have the awesome privilege of interviewing Jerry's son, who is a UGA BCM alum and also one of the campus ministers at Ole Miss, Daniel Johnson. So Daniel, thanks so much for being here with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, Daniel, it's great to have you, buddy, obviously. But tell us about your family, what you currently do, your role at Ole Miss, some of that stuff.
Sure. So, my name is Daniel Johnson. I serve as the associate director at the Baptist Student Union, which is the same thing as Baptist Collegiate Ministry, just in Mississippi. This is the beginning of my fourth year at Ole Miss. I have a wife named Sarah and two dogs.
Awesome. Daniel, how'd you end up in college ministry? I mean, I know your dad's been in it for a while, but how'd you end up in it?
Sure. So I'll start kind of with my generic call to ministry and then specifically into college ministry. Obviously, growing up in a ministry family, we had conversations about the gospel. We had conversations, just deep conversations after church or what we were reading, and a lot of those revolved around faith, just because that's what my dad was working in, obviously important to him just as a believer, but also just important to us as a family. And so we had deep conversations that directed me to Scripture, that developed a love in me for Scripture. And I just felt passionate, more and more passionate about Scripture. I enjoyed math. I enjoyed English. I enjoyed other studies and everything. I always felt just very passionate, you know, coming to church, talking about Scripture. Those are the things that always got me excited. I enjoyed those things because they helped grow my faith. You know, math and English aren't living word. It's not a personal relationship. The gospel was, and it affected everything. And when I was 14, I felt a call into ministry. I had opportunities to lead and to serve. And it was also, had people around me that affirmed that call in my life. You and mom, other pastors, in my life. And that call just felt easy as I'd come from a ministry family. Some people kind of run away from that, but I just couldn't see myself doing anything else. There's an old joke that or saying that pastors kind of tell people that are thinking of going into ministry that says, if you feel comfortable doing anything else, do it. If you could see yourself doing anything else, because ministry is the hardest job that there is. And I see some of the truth in that. I think ministry can be one of the most emotionally draining jobs there is.
Right.
Because you're so spiritually invested in these kids.
Right.
And there's eternity on the line. And so there are other jobs I may go to bed more tired at night. There's other jobs I may just be exhausted at the end of the day. But these students don't stop being my students when I go home.
Right.
Tommy, you come from a ministry family. Your dad is a pastor.
Right. One of the things I think I was going to ask, I mean, because I know for me that, when I accepted the call into the ministry, there were some hang-ups because I'd seen the stuff my dad had to deal with and so forth. Was there anything that was just coming from a minister's family that was just difficult about that? Like, I'm not really sure I really want to do this.
I mean, and I think you hit on this the week that you did your personal podcast.
Right.
But there are politics within the BSU world, BCM world. I would say probably not at the same level as the local church world.
Right.
There's an old joke of the great thing about college ministry and the awful thing about college ministry is I hate to see some students go after 4, 5, maybe 6 years, but I'm also really excited to see some students go after 6 years.
Hey, we love you guys out there, but I understand.
Speaking the truth here, bro. I'm sorry.
there's some old ladies, some deacons that eat. They're going to be with you 20, 30, 40 more years.
That's a good point.
It's not, they're not leaving after 4 or 5 years. There's some things that, I mean, my dad showed me an email one time of how would you respond to this.
And I was right.
Like, this seems like the most petty thing in the world to have to respond to. But it's also, okay, there are people that got hurt by this, that they didn't feel thanked when you did a luncheon. You need to console them and say, man, we are so thankful for you. We are so gracious for your, you know, hospitality. We're so sorry that you didn't feel thanked. Even if you had seen every student in line personally thank them, you need to go above and beyond. And those are kind of things that may not be frustrating, but it's like, okay, I will have to put aside my own pride at those points and go, okay, yeah, I love you, even if it, I've seen other, contrary to what you said.
Right.
Along those lines, Daniel, share a couple of quick stories, maybe a funny thing, a more life-changing thing about being raised with the BCM campus minister as your dad, specifically me as your dad.
Yeah, so I would say, I mean, I've seen plenty of funny things. You have always been you, and for better or for worse. But you, I mean, you've danced with students up on stage. You have a flair for drama. You did drama in college. You did, and not as a dramatic person, but I mean, wanting to do something fun, wanting to do something creative. I remember one year you always had themes at Southern for things.
At Georgia Southern University. Southern, yeah.
Yeah. That you did a pirate ship and built a whole pirate ship coming out of the ground one year. And then you were able to point students to that on campus. And it worked so well that you said, we're not doing a pirate theme the next year, but we'll make it into a spaceship or something. You used what was already there and said, use what we have. And that's worked with your food. That's worked with any of those things as well in that. But yeah. Those are some of the funny ones.
That's cool. That's cool. So you were here at UGA, obviously. And yeah. So tell us about just some highlights about your time here. You know, things that, it's particularly for new students coming in, sure. that make this place special.
And I just think the personal relationships that you build here, there's so many people on campus. And I remember coming to campus my first day, and I met one of my best friends, and within the next like month or two, I met my other best friend.
Right.
And I'm having dinner with one of them tonight. And so he still lives in Athens. I think those friendships, man, if you have an interest in underwater basket weaving, there's going to be somebody on campus that has an interest in underwater basket weaving. There's people that are like, man, I love the X-Men movies, or I love the Avengers movies. You're going to find people that are like, man, I love those too.
Right.
Even if you went to a small high school where everyone's like cut from the same cloth, you are going to find people, for better or for worse, on all ends of the spectrum
right.
at UGA. And so that's really cool. The other thing, I mean, I enjoyed doing UGA Paint Line. That was a really cool experience for me. But finally, I mean, just a highlight for me was BCM here. Franklin and Nathan both poured into me while I was here and gave me opportunities to lead and to serve both here in the local church. And I think that helped develop leadership capability in me, an opportunity for discipleship.
What That's church good. Were you involved when you were here at UGA?
So when I was probably my first and second year, I church hopped for a little bit, but primarily I just went to Watkinsville.
First Baptist Watkinsville, yeah.
And so, but my second year, or my third year, my fourth year, Franklin approached me and said, hey, I have an opportunity. I want you to meet this local pastor. And would you be interested in serving as the college minister for this local church? And so I transitioned into that
over to Green Acres Baptist Church here in town.
Okay, yeah.
What a great model. That's one of the things we encourage with students is to really get involved in local churches.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think
as a campus minister, what do you see the role of the church and campus ministry?
So that's actually a great transition with that, because I think the role of the church and the BSU go so hand in hand together. I think they have such unique things to offer, but they also offer some of the same things at the same time. So, Tommy, you said last week in your interview that the importance of being in a place of with old people and with babies.
Yeah.
And so people that can pour into you
right.
and that you can pour into. And I
exactly.
think the local church offers that.
Yeah.
And I think BSU offers a specific focus on college-age students and an opportunity to lead and to serve in a different capacity than a local church. Meaning, if you have a heart for deaf ministry, like y'all have had here, right. I mean, I think they started five, maybe 7 years ago for the deaf ministry here. You can start that here. If you have a heart for the UGA band, the Redcoats band, you can go, man, I would love to serve them. How can we do it? Maybe I can get two or three people to come along with me, and we can do outreach to the Redcoats band, to the Greeks, to whoever. And so there's those opportunities to serve. The other thing is BSU, because it's connected, BCM, because it's connected to all of these local churches, campus ministers have their ear to the ground of, I know who needs a worship leader.
Right.
I know who needs a youth minister. I know who needs XYZ. And so they're able to say, hey, just as Franklin was, hey, would you like to serve, maybe not even serving on leadership, although we would love to have you, and take a step back, you're going to be serving in the local church the rest of your life. So right. How can I plug you in? How can I help transition you to that? But I think, again, BSU offers more leadership opportunities because it gives opportunities to fail and opportunities to succeed.
That are really your area. That
right.
Yeah, you are taking ownership.
In a local church, you'll have opportunities to serve and to lead. But at the BCM, you know, you are serving your peers. You're leading your peers. Yep. This is your ministry. What are you going to do with it? It either succeeds or fails on those you get to follow you for this vision.
And there's this unique opportunity on campus. Like you said, there's so many different pockets of people who have so many different interests.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, if you've got a heart for any of those areas, like, you're in a place where you're going to find something that pulls at your heartstrings.
Amen.
To do ministry. So absolutely. Yeah. And you know, it was interesting you said about just the opportunity to then serve in the local church. I'll never forget a couple years ago, we were looking for a female intern. And so I came up here, swung by the BCM, and I walked in Franklin's office. I said, Franklin, here's what I need you to do. If you were in a local church right now and not at the BCM, who's the one female right here in this building that's not currently serving somewhere that you would hire on the spot? And he gave me a young lady's name, and we brought Maddie in and interviewed her, and I was like, yep, Franklin was right, you know? And so she was able to serve with us. So for the local church, for me, when I was in the local church, man, it was a great resource. Yeah. It was a great resource.
My boss has said before, we are not a parachurch ministry.
That's right.
We are an extension of the local church.
Amen. That's good.
And I think that's so true because I represent churches both big and small.
Yeah.
I represent, you know, Watkinsville First Baptist, who has a college ministry of their own, if I'm serving here. First Baptist Oxford, where I'm at, right? Or I serve North Oxford Baptist Church, where I'm at, that have college ministries. I also serve the small churches that don't have college ministries of their own. But because of their partnership, they are actively involved in college ministry.
That's good.
And so they have a face and they have a representation as the tip of the spear out on the campus doing ministry. And so many of our best students come from these small churches that say, my church, you know, donates to the BSU, and my pastor told me to get involved in here, and he couldn't wait. He said, there's one place to get involved. It's the Baptist Union. Or, you know, my mom got involved, and there's a legacy, and that's where she met her husband. She just can't wait for me to be involved in the BSU. And I think, so the best way for churches and BSU should work together, the best compliment I've ever gotten was when I was at Tennessee Tech working with Ben Maddox as the intern there. We were in a board meeting with different pastors, and one of the pastors said, I can tell a huge difference between the students that come to our ministry, that come on Sundays, that come and serve on Wednesdays, that don't go to BSU, and then those that do.
Awesome. That's good.
And so, man, I think BSU offers equipping, empowering, and enabling students for the gospel to serve in the local church.
That's good.
And so I think we come along because we have that focus to empower and enable and equip them.
That's awesome. So, you know, we're stuck in this quarantine thing and, you know, it's going in circles and who knows whether it's going to be in the fall and so forth. But just for right now, like how has the quarantine affected your ministry there at Ole Miss? And what did you guys do? Like, what are y'all doing right now to maintain connections through the summer and so forth?
Yeah, so we're doing just a Bible study on Tuesday nights. So we're offering some in-house, so we're allowing our students to come in with masks, safety precautions spread out across the room to come in, and then we'll also do it on Zoom. And I think that the students that are in town appreciate that community, even if it's split across, you know, 6 feet apart kind of deal, just seeing another person. I think a lot of our students got Zoom fatigue, and we've talked about that before, even into May of, you know, I'm doing my meetings with discipleship with students, and they're going, I'm already on Zoom for all my classes, and you want me to do one more Zoom meeting? And that wasn't everybody. I had a couple of students that said, all right, this is our last week. Next week is break week for y'all, or next week is finals week. And they said, oh, no, we want to keep meeting.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's great. Well, I was trying to give y'all a break.
I love that as a leader.
Study.
Yeah.
But I think we put our videos on Facebook and on YouTube for our sermon series. And I think we were just trying, just like everybody, we were throwing audibles left and right. Is this working? Is this not? And especially in this season, I think it brought us back to the drawing board and said, is this working? Do we need to do this differently?
Right. What are you going to continue after this this crisis is over? What are you going to? What do you think that you've learned during this time that you'll continue?
So we talked about this as a staff, and we actually got this idea from y'all, is doing the online survey, and we did a free gift with it. And within the first, I think, 2 days, we had 250 responses to it.
That's awesome.
And we now have 390 responses to it. I mean, it's just, that's more responses than we would get going out to an orientation table.
Yes.
And we will continue to go make those personal handshaking when we're able to shake hands, in person.
Air high fives.
Orientations and say, man, we're so excited for you to be here. But we will 100% keep doing those online surveys because we're able to connect with them. This generation's social media driven in a lot of ways, and so we're able to connect with them on Instagram and other ways.
Yeah, one thing that's stuck out to me about those surveys is that when a student fills out that survey, they're filling it out. Nobody's making them fill it out, right? Or you're not standing in their path as they're walking by at a at a orientation fourth quarter, you know, what they call it here, and they're like, well, I have to stop. Like, they're choosing to fill that out. So, we've seen the same thing. It's just been tremendous feedback, and I think part of that too is the fact that I think students really are wanting to make connections right now because it's when kids get back on campus, I'm interested to see what happens regardless of what the universities say about rules and all that kind of stuff. I'm interested to see what happens because, man, these kids want to connect. These students want to connect with one another. So I'm excited about
that.
Daniel, how old are you now?
29.
Yes. One thing that being a campus minister as long as I've been, there's seasons of life, and God is just teaching me different things in different seasons. At this season in your life, what are some of the things that God is really teaching you? What's on your heart these days?
So I had a conversation with Ken Thomas, who is your president's dad, Nate Thomas, a couple of weeks ago.
Head of Connect Ministries. Yeah,
through Connect Ministry. And we had met when I was a college student here. Franklin got me plugged in with them. They also came and taught like they do now with us, and just great ministry. But we were talking about vision, and we were talking about mission statements and how to, you know, cast those well. And he made a statement that says, burden drives vision. Hmm. And I loved that, and it just stuck with me. Burden drives vision. I can cast a vision statement or a mission statement to a student, and they may not buy into it. But if I can get them to have a burden, that's creating world changers. And so often I think that we think of a negative word with burden. You know, cast off your burden, a beast of burden, don't be a burden, any of those things. But Jesus doesn't tell us that we won't have burdens. He says, my burden's easy, my yoke is light, right? So you'll still have a burden, but I'll walk there with you.
Right.
And that kind of goes back to, like, the Sermon on the Mount. The verse that always confused me the most until I understood it was, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the Luke translation says, they will laugh, there will be laughter. And I thought that was just so weird. But those that have a burden, those that have a burden, what will do any, to your point, Tommy, of if there's a group on campus that they can have a burden for, they can find it here. If they have a burden for the drama club, if they have a burden for the Greeks, they can find it at UGA.
Mm-hmm.
And so us as campus ministers' job is going, okay, how does that how do we help develop that burden? How do we equip you to be able to reach that burden? And how do we come alongside you, serve alongside you, and address that? Because they'll continue with that burden. How do we also do that ultimately, though, in light of the gospel?
Yeah, right. Well, that's good stuff, man. Yeah. That is really good stuff.
So, you know, you were here at UGA, and we talked about that a little bit earlier, just some of the cool things that you did here. But from a campus ministry standpoint, and for your dad and me, sure. You know, it's funny, you think about it, like, you've got more experience at the UGA BCM than either me or your dad do
or
right
combined.
Now. That's right, combined. That's right. So give us some advice, you know, for us, and not only for us, but for our students, and then maybe even incoming students, just in regards to the BCM in particular.
So I'll do that in two separate ways of okay. you and then students.
Okay, perfect.
And so for y'all, I would just say, man, never forget how good y'all have it. Like, even on the worst day, I would rather be a campus minister than anything else. And so when I said it's the most draining emotionally job, there's also no greater joy than being a campus minister. Mm. When a student, it clicks, and they go, man, I had a quiet time consistently for 2 weeks straight that I've never had before. Or, hey, I took the first steps in putting a phone block on my phone so that I can overcome this addiction. Right. Like, those are the moments where they're falling in love with Jesus that make all of those other things, doing the books, having to do paperwork, any of those other things that I'm not really in it to do that job, it makes it that worth it. All the heartache of everything else, those small glimpses of joy and hope that come in Jesus Christ make everything else worth it. And these students, as you said, are relational. They want to know y'all. Having them over to your house and just seeing where you live is huge. Taking them out on the boat. Steve Masters talks about, you know, he has hobbies. He plays a ton of golf. He goes fishing.
Steve's campus minister at LSU.
Correct. But he takes students along to do his hobbies. So you know, he's just like, I'm going to go play golf. I'm going to teach all these international students how to play golf, too.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. That would be a funny shot. I want that on video.
Want to learn how to fish. I'm going to take them fishing.
Oh, that's good.
Right. So he'll just, I mean, he has a little putting course outside of his BSU building. And so he could just go outside and teach them. And I think that's just such a funny thing that, like, students want to, I don't have to always readjust all of my life. I can just take students to come along with my life in the lens of the gospel and say, here's how you be a good parent. Here's how you be a good husband.
That's good stuff.
Here's how you do all these things. Because those are the things that they're going to be doing for the rest of their life.
That's good.
And so finally with students, I would say, use these 4 years to prepare yourself. You have more free time than you will the rest of your life.
That's hard to believe for some of our students.
Yeah.
Right. To tell them that, they seem so stressed.
Yeah.
But that is absolutely the truth. Yeah. It gets worse.
And I think part of that stress, though, is the unstructuredness of it.
That's
that
right.
You come in, you have so much free time that it almost feels just anxiety. We're meant to work. Work is a good thing in the light of the gospel, right? And so there's an idea of you work from your rest. You don't just rest from your work. And so you rest on Sunday that you may go back out. You take that Sabbath that you may go back out into the kingdom and work. And so I would say a lot of our students are practicing their time, feeling like they're going to be playing Mario Kart the rest of their life and being a ping pong championship. And those aren't bad things. But how are you using this 4 years as Joshua used his 40 years in the desert? As Jesus used his 30 years before his ministry began, as Paul used his 3 years before his ministry began, to really prepare yourself, to really cultivate those things, read great books, memorize a ton of scripture, because you're going to use those things the rest of your life that you're going to need and dive into it, develop those habits right here, right now, and then surround yourself with people that are going to encourage you, because it's an uphill battle now. You can't walk it by yourself. And surround yourself with people that are going to say, hey, what scripture are you memorizing? What books are you reading? You know, how are you developing? The habits that you develop in college stick with you. I mean, you can change those habits as the rest of your life, but there's so many college students that their parents come and they say, sow your wild oats. Had the best 4 years of your life. College is the best 4 years. Do whatever you want to. Get it out of your system. I knew people that graduated from 4 years that were certified alcoholics.
Right.
And that were checking into rehab at the age of 23 because of the habits that they developed in college. Now, that's not really publicized a ton.
Right.
But it's those habits that you develop that you're not told. Like, if this is the best, if college is the best 4 years of my life, why do I keep living after college?
Right.
I mean, like, what's there to look forward to?
Right.
I mean, there's so many years that I've just had being married to Sarah these last 5 years. They're the best 5 years of my life. I'm sure when I have kids, it will come with its own struggles, but they'll even be better years of my life.
Right.
And so, like, we're telling these students, oh, these are the most, they're the probably some of the most fun years of your life, just exciting, but they're not the best.
Yeah.
And right.
You have so much to develop here and now. If you would use these 4 years like Joshua used the 4 years.
That's awesome.
Good stuff, man. Really encouraging words, Daniel. Thank you for sharing today.
Yeah, Daniel, thanks so much for being with us and sharing. And, you know, I don't know what you guys, this fall is going to look like at Ole Miss, but I know for us, we have no idea what it's going to look like even today. And so we'll be praying for you guys, and we know that y'all will be doing the same for us, and such good insight today. So thank you so much for being with us. And guys, thank you for listening today. And don't forget to check out our Tuesday devotional as well. And we'll look forward to having you guys back with us again. And so, Jerry, you got anything as we close?
Just thanks for being with us at the podcast today. Share this if you would. Our contact information, if you'd like to talk further, is in the notes here at the UGA BCM podcast. Thanks for being with us. Share this with your friends. And go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the UGA BCM podcast. Follow us on Instagram at UGABCM and visit us online at UGABCM.org to find out more information about us. We'll see you next time.